Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Max's third place finalist in the May Challenge, Morris Bird. Morris, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you. But mate, look, it's been just a couple of days since you found out that you were not only in the top 10, but also in the top three. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Oh, well, a little surreal. I don't think it's really landed yet because I still kind of feel like I'm in the challenge, I guess, at the moment. I haven't given up.
Good. Well, that's what we want, right? We want that long-term style, and it would be a shame with your amazing transformation if you just kind of washed your hands and walked away, right? So that's amazing. And you know, you should be so proud of what you've achieved. Your transformation is absolutely like blew me away. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was, I certainly put the hard yards in on that one, that's for sure. I've completely trusted the plan, much to my sort of, not to my instincts, I guess I might say, because, you know, I've had training in the past and done things a certain way. So, you know, giving up that freedom to do it as I would normally and sort of trust in the program, I mean, it's really taught me a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we might touch on that in a little bit. But mate, Morris, do you want to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? Maybe where you're from, what you do for work, and, you know, who is Morris?
Yeah, so I am 35 years old, turning 36 this year. Not looking forward to that. But I'm a father of three children. I'm married to a beautiful woman. And yeah, what else is new with me? I work as a general assistant and I do clerical work as well. So that's at a high school I do this at. And in between that, I try and find the time to train, I guess.
Right, busy man. Well, mate, let's start off by talking about why. You know, why did you choose to start the May Challenge?
Well, it came from a recommendation. So my cousin, Stephen Bird, you may know of him. He's up to his third challenge now. Mm-hmm. And Steve was always egging me on to do it. And my brother actually participated in the last challenge. And yeah, they were both trying to egg me on to do it. And I said, well, look, all right, I'll give it a go. You know, I'll give this thing a go. But we were kind of all competitive against each other. So, you know, we were trying to sort of spur each other on. And like, we're all a bit competitive like that. And I think it really helped in this challenge for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, man, like we do find that the sense of competition, you know, helps us to drive us further and harder, right? You know, some people feel the competition is overwhelming, but then others really thrive in this competitive environment. And it's amazing that you had your brother and your cousin all doing the challenge together. And I can imagine the little banter between you guys.
Oh, there certainly was. Yeah. There certainly was. Yeah.
Well, okay. What was it like when, you know, you found out that you're in the top three and, you know, they weren't in the top three? What was that like?
Oh, I don't know how to say this without sounding a bit big-headed, but yeah. Look, it's one thing to be competitive and we are competitive against each other, but in saying that, it's also good to have that little bit of humility and sort of being a good sport too. And, you know, we all really encourage each other, but we also push each other with the way we lift or how many reps we do or how much weight we do and, you know, where we finish. But when it comes down to the crunch and you get top 50, which my cousin Stephen and Dan both made top 50 last time, mm-hmm. which they were stoked with. But for me, a goal would be to surpass that, I guess. So, you know, to surpass the top 50 was that one up on them. But like, again, they were real proud.
Yeah, good sportsmanship. It's a good winner.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, Morris, mate, let's talk about some challenges. So you, of course, would have faced some of your own unique challenges to complete the challenge. So can you speak us through about, you know, some things you had to overcome to achieve the amazing result that you did?
Yeah, well, I think firstly, one thing that I, like, you know, before taking on the challenge, I did speak to my wife. I think it is good to speak to your partner about, I'm going to do this thing and I want to give it 110%. So these are some of the things that we may have to overcome. Like, for instance, like, I'm not going to want to be going out to dinner and eating at burger places or socializing in those situations, you know, drinking, things of that nature. You know, I mean, I don't really drink anyway, but, you know, I just didn't want to be in that environment. So I think controlling your environment is one factor in it, I think. And that was really hard because to do that, you can be a little bit antisocial, I guess, going out, having that pizza or doing that thing. But that was my way of sort of getting around that, was sort of saying, well, look, I'm going to join this challenge. I'm going to give it everything. And this is what it means. It means that this, you know, will you support me on that? And my wife did support me on that. And I have a tight-knit community of friends and family, and I explained it to them too, and they all understood it as well. And so when I knew I had their blessing on it and that they had my back, it just made it that much easier to do. But it was a struggle because you don't get to enjoy those people that you're around the same way that you would normally. So again, just being honest with it and open with it and saying what you're doing, and them knowing me, being competitive, they know what I'm like. So they'd want me to win. They would want me to try my best to win or do whatever it took to get my goal. And that's what it was that got me through it.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a reoccurring theme. And I think the challenge begins right when you sign up. So before you even touch the nutrition plan or the training plan, it begins then, because the hardest thing to do is to have that conversation with the people in your environment that you want to make change. And that could be the people in your immediate environment, like your home, your social environment, like your friends, or even your work environment, like your colleagues, and having that discussion and saying, hey, for morning tea, I'm just not going to have, you know, cake and cookies that we normally have. You know, I'm just maybe not going to eat something. Or, you know, with your friends, instead of going out and getting pizza or, you know, burgers and beer, I'm just going to maybe choose something else. And if anything, you have this internal conflict in yourself and you almost feel embarrassed to say that, right? And when you're about to have this conversation with your partner going, hey, I want to have a different dinner. Is that okay? And you feel really embarrassed to say that. But what ends up happening is on the other side of that fear is, you know, lots of support, where the other person that you're afraid to talk to is really open and going, yeah, that's totally fine. Like, you know, there's no issue around that. And it's a reoccurring theme. So if you're listening to this and you maybe feel that you can't change your environment, or you feel that you can't have that conversation with your friends, your family, your coworkers, or people around you, you can, and you will find that those people will be the most supportive people in your pocket. And when you do have that conversation, just like what Morris found, was you have this real supportive network around you, which you need to get this amazing transformation like you did.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely being honest and owning it instead of trying to get those people to sort of support you. You do make them a part of your journey. You know, it's a ripple effect. It does sort of affect people in a positive way, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And you probably find that the people that you spoke to, you may have started them thinking a certain way about their health, right? So even just you saying, oh, I'm going to maybe try to eat a little bit better. That's it. Then you may find that your friend then tries to eat a little bit better themselves, right?
Definitely.
And did you notice that maybe like your social environments, you know, started to change as well, as you almost were the leader of the change to, you know, live a better life? Did you notice that change?
Definitely. And I think though, it's, you get those people at the start that join you and go, oh, I'm going to do this. And, you know, they take steps forward and they take steps backwards. But you know what? They are on a better track, you know, a lot better than they were before. One of the struggles is, though, is that when people haven't been involved in it and they haven't seen you in 12 weeks and they see a 12-week transformation, they see you then and then they see you now and they say, what's your secret?
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like, well,
you didn't see the 12 weeks.
It would take 12 weeks to tell you what that secret is. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely understand that one. I think one thing that we kind of need to be somewhat careful of, but then aware of, is when we do make those changes, we kind of change our own identity. And then when we change our own identity, that can, you know, have some sort of conflict with some friends. And I use this example of a buddy of mine when I was young, pre-fitness Steve, right? And we would always catch up for burger and beer, you know, we were maybe 18 or 19. It was just, you know, the routine that we did. And then once I started trying to eat better and exercising more, you know, I didn't choose to do those events anymore with this particular friend. And what ended up happening was we grew further and further apart. And I don't blame him. And I don't say that he changed, because I changed and I moved in a different direction. And interesting enough, in a few podcasts on this podcast, I've spoken to people who've done successfully in the challenge. And throughout the challenge, they've actually split up with their partner. And that happened in a very small scale environment where they may have started to change their identity to become this, you know, fitness person. And they started to move away from this other person, which ended up leading to a breakup. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Maybe that is the need, the change that's required. But
yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, an example like would be at work in general. Like I found the people I least expected to understand what it was that I was doing at work were the most understanding and really got behind it and asked a lot of questions about, you know, what I was doing, the challenge, and, you know, where do you sign up? And, you know, is there, I mean, being at a school, I work with a lot of females as well. It's a girls' school, you know, and a lot of those women were asking about Maxine's and is there one that women can do as well? And, you know, and just being able to explain to them about the, like, the positive environment that you're in when you're doing it, you don't feel like strange for doing it or alienated because you're doing something different. That community actually helps you so much. Yeah. But the people that I would normally have like socialized with at work, I've got thick skin, but I found them sort of teasing the idea of it, you know, or you're going to get a tan or you're going to flex your muscles or get down your speedos and blah, blah, blah. And is it a whole heap of you guys in a room together flexing your muscles and carrying on? But like the more they went on with that, the prouder I became because I just started to notice that it wasn't actually them teasing me. They were just showing me their envy in what I was doing. And those same people now I've noticed have made a change and they've gone back to doing routines that they were doing before. One in particular is a surfer and he hasn't surfed in years. And now he's back surfing and doing all this physical activity that he used to do again, you know? So it's sort of, he may not have got on the Max's train and done what I've done, but I think it spurred him to do something active with himself, you know? So
yeah, I think sometimes we do need to have that thick skin, right? Because when we do have that change, some people's reaction are two things. Number one, they become the expert. So one example, I was having a lunch in a staff room and I was trying to have just a chicken salad, right? Just a classic chicken salad, eating my lunch. And a coworker was sitting next to me. They had their meat pie and a Coca-Cola and they're looking at me and they're like, oh, why are you eating that for? Like, you're just going to eat rabbit food all the time. You know, you should be eating more food. And they were like almost trying to be the expert to me. I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
And then the other response that people have is almost in a way like envy, like you said, a little bit of jealousy. And it comes off as almost like a little bit of teasing, right? And I think that if you start to get teased for your transformation in a light way, you know, as in like a little bit of banter or, you know, oh, you got to go get a tan and flex your muscles or like that kind of highlights that one, maybe other people are jealous. And then two, people are noticing your transformation, which I think is just like a, hey, this is actually nice. People are noticing me. And the only way they can react is to validate that they're jealous and they go, oh, well, maybe if I poke holes at this person, I chop him down a little bit, maybe I can feel better about myself. And okay, maybe that's not the best way to think about human psyche, but with your own transformation, people are going to respond that way and need to have this thick skin slightly and go, hey, like, it's fine. These people are just jealous. I'm going to do me, right? And that's okay, right?
You're right. I think having that thick skin, it helps you have that thick skin to be able to encourage people in the right direction because people are always afraid of what they don't understand. It's just human psyche. It's pretty much some people like pour loads of money into cars and getting cars looking good and going fast in those cars. And, you know, me personally, I see that as a massive waste of time and money, you know, but I don't understand that world. I don't understand the thrill of it. And so to them, like, you know, that's not a waste of time. And that's what they enjoy to do. And that's what makes them feel good. You got to be positive about that. And say, well, you know, that guy's doing something good for himself and that makes him feel good. And that's, I think you got to carry that on your shoulders in everything you do. Don't judge everything.
That's it. Yeah. And if someone is acting a certain way towards you and you're doing the challenge right now, take it on as a little bit of a responsibility of yourself to be positive about it. And one way you could react and you can, you know, fight back at them, or you can keep doing you and be a positive role model for the change that you're trying to instill in yourself and the people that you're around you, right?
Yeah, you don't bite. You definitely don't bite. You just be humble, laugh about it with them and just keep on doing it. Keep on doing it with a smile. That's what I always like to say.
Morris, I wanted to speak about something you mentioned at the start of the podcast where you kind of mentioned how you needed to challenge your own training or previous training and your own beliefs around, you know, maybe fitness and training and nutrition and everything in between. So can you speak a little bit about how you had to maybe change your approach to your own training and nutrition from your own education, your own background, your own style to take on board some of the principles that we were trying to teach within the challenge? Like, can you speak a little bit about maybe, you know, letting go of the old style of training and embracing a new style?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So look, my old thought process was along the lines of basically trying to bulk up, putting on as much mass and size as possible. And that wasn't necessarily always eating the right foods. and training the heavy weights, low repetitions, but not with great intensity either. No cardio. And then what I'd do is I'd wait to that few months out of summer and just basically starve and, you know, drop the carbs and eat clean and this sort of thing. And it just, I could never maintain that. I could never say I'd look that way all year round by doing that. But like since the challenge, like on my final photos that I took on that particular day, I weighed 95.4 kilos from 110.
Congratulations.
Now, since the challenge though, since that time, I'm now sitting around about 98, 98 flat. So I'm waking up in the mornings around 97, end of the day, 98, but I'm maintaining it. I mean, obviously the eating's picked up a little since the challenge, but it's still based on that same principle. A couple of little cheats in between, you know, but nothing too dramatic. But the thing is that my training, the way it is now, like the intensity that I have in my training, the little bit of extra eating that I do here and there, it's not affecting it. I'm not gaining. Like by now, I would have gained so much more weight, that's for sure. I mean, I've packed on like way more muscle than I would have normally.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what's keeping the weight off that I would normally have gotten.
Yeah. So talk to us about how you mentally added more intensity to your training. You know, was it because of maybe the competition, or did you trial different, you know, maybe did you work on your technique, or did you just mentally, you know, have a focus? Like what did you do to improve your
intensity? So basically with my training where I would look, like I said at the start, before the challenge, I made a decision that I was going to just go at this thing full ball as hard as I could. So that meant where I would do three sets of an exercise normally, I did five. Where I would do heavier weight, I decreased the weights and worked on my technique and worked on my endurance because that was a weak point for me. I mean, I could always lift really heavy. I'm quite strong in the gym, but my endurance was really weak and I could be, you know, I found in the past when I've been to public gyms and things like that, I could be outworked in the gym, you know, so I could lift, be one of the heavier lifters, but be easily outworked in the gym. And that was always something that really bugged me. Like I thought, I wonder if I could be stronger if I had that more endurance, or if I had more fitness, you know, or if I had a better eating habit. I wonder if these qualities could change. I mean, I actually did a back workout this afternoon in the gym, and I've honestly never been able to deadlift more than 200 kilos. Today I did 215 kilos.
Amazing.
On a deadlift and smashed it up like it was easy. And I was like, wow, like, where's that been? Like, I've trained on and off for years, intense deadlift training and all that, and I've never been able to break that for some reason. Today I went out there and just smashed, and it just goes, you know, the changes I've made in my eating and just picking up on my endurance, working on my fitness, working on the, you know, the quality of my repetitions, not doing any cheat sets, things like that, that I used to use, those type of forced techniques. I feel like, you know, it's really pushed me ahead.
Yeah.
There's plenty of room for more growth too.
Yeah. I think we do find a lot of guys come onto the Max's Challenge and maybe they've spent a little bit too much time in the bro science world, or, you know, on bodybuilding.com. I'm going to use quotation marks right now, this old school style of training where it was all about negative sets, drop sets, cheat sets, and all these other fancy advanced ways of training. And what that does is just adds layers and layers and layers of fatigue. And we look at some of these pro bodybuilders who, you know, train 7 days a week, and we go, well, I should train 7 days a week using all the techniques, and every set goes to failure, and I'm going to do 10 sets of chest and then 10 sets of shoulders and 10 sets of triceps, and that's going to be my workout, and you're training for 2 hours, right? And what ends up happening, like I said, is, you know, you would just lay it on so much fatigue and we don't give ourselves a chance to recover. And what we find when we start to take people through the Max and the Maxine Challenge, they actually start doing less total exercise. They give themselves time to recover because, you know, there's forced like rest days or periods where some exercise, some training sessions, you know, are less than an hour. And for some people, that's like, whoa, like, no, that's too short of a session, right? And what happens is when we do have these rest days, we get these results, like you just said, where this deadlift comes out of nowhere and I'm able to smash it out for reps and I've never been able to do that before. And it might have been because you gave yourself some good quality time to rest and recover. We started to think about our nutrition, that side of things. And we go, hey, like all these other factors in conjunction with good intensity and training lead to really amazing results, like you achieved.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. I did notice there was a little more rest and it was hard for me to kind of peel over to that. But again, I did do it, and I think it really did work, exactly what you're saying. You know, getting, none of them, I don't want to say that I'm old, but, you know, getting a little older, you know, your body doesn't quite function the same way, and you don't recover the same way as you do when you're young. There's lots of little tweaks and little bits and pieces that hurt here and there. So, I mean, changing my style of training and focusing more on my technique and things like that, having more rest has definitely helped me. Like, I mean, I actually did before the challenge have a lower back problem, not a diagnosed one to say, but it was like a sciatic sort of problem. Lay in bed at night, it would just ache and go radiate down my legs. And since losing the weight and since training this way, that's actually gone.
Amazing.
I can't believe it. Like I said to my wife, I said, do you know that pain? I still haven't gotten that pain. I still fear it because I lay in bed and I expect that I'm going to get this sharp pain suddenly when I move a certain way. But yeah, no, it hasn't happened. I haven't gotten it.
Amazing. It's so good to hear. Morris, I've got a bunch of questions here. A little bit of a speed dating like questions. It's going to be great. First question here. What's your favorite exercise?
Shoulder press.
Shoulder press. Okay. Are you a standing shoulder press guy or like a seated dumbbell overhead press guy?
Yeah, seated dumbbell overhead press.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the lower body, and you might have mentioned it already. Are you team squats or team deadlifts?
I can't pick because I do them both. I think they go hand in hand. I wouldn't pick because they're two different exercises, really. Like, you need them both.
All right, so we're fence sitter. Okay, I'll write that down.
If I'm going to pick one, I'll pick the deadlift.
Nice, okay. Let's talk about flexing. What's your favorite muscle to flex?
Favorite muscle to flex? I would probably say my biceps.
Biceps, nice. All right, talking about cardio, were you a fan of cardio or do you have a love-hate relationship with it?
I love cardio. Well, certain parts of cardio. I mean, every Saturday morning, I wake up around about 5 a.m. and I actually go for around about a 17-kilometer run.
Wow.
But the thing is, it's just being a father, working, being a husband, the world can sort of come down on you a little hard sometimes. But having that time to kind of just get out there and run and clear your head, I mean, it's one of my favorite things to do. And especially that time in the morning, there's no one around. Yeah. I take bush trails and it's just, I mean, I don't really call it cardio, you know, in a way, because it's just a bit of me time. That's how I treat it.
What's that? It's almost like therapy almost, just running. And
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Do you listen to music or do you just write?
I do, yeah. Nice. And I mean, my list is terrible. I mean, I've got a whole heap of Rocky on there. I've got, yeah, it's all uplifting, yeah. Motivational 80s type music.
Love it, love it. So good. All right, let's talk about dinner. What was your go-to dinner while you were doing the challenge?
Okay. Oh, God, it's so boring. It sounds so boring. No, I did the spinach, the broccoli, sweet potato, brown rice with chicken breast.
Quality.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I was that clean like the whole time.
Yeah. No, so good. All right, let's talk about the protein powder. What's your favorite flavor of protein powder?
I like salted caramel.
Ooh, okay.
Love salted caramel. That was one that I happened to really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. All right, look, let's finish up here with advice. So if someone came to you and was like, Morris, your transformation is amazing. I want to get fit and healthy as well, or I'm about to start the Max's Challenge. What advice would you give someone who's about to begin that process, that journey?
If you're thinking about doing the Max's Challenge, I definitely wouldn't enter it at a 50% mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Is to have a 100% mindset to say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I don't care what people are going to say about me doing this. I'm not going to let the world around me distract me from my goal. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be selfish on this one. I'm going to take this time to better myself. But I mean, for me, a lot of this competition is about bettering myself. But, you know, it was also fueling my competitive nature as well. I've got to say, I wanted a good result. I wanted to place really well in this competition and I really took it serious, you know. So to say that I wasn't trying to win this competition would be a lie. I was. So I was definitely going hard out. So there's nothing wrong with being competitive, but be a good competitor. So be fair and encourage others, but be competitive and try your best to win, I think.
Yeah, that's some quality advice. Love it. Morris, let's wrap it up there, mate. I want to thank you so much for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And once again, a huge congratulations on an amazing result. And I'm sure that you will continue to inspire so many people within your own circles and then within the bigger Max and Maxine circles to live a healthier and better life. So for that, I thank you. And once again, a big congratulations.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.